Podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is Keep Asking, the weekly podcast that helps you dive in a bit deeper and wider into the research providing insights into today's church and culture. I'm here today with my colleagues Scott McConnell and Jen Magruder today to talk about the Nothing Less research. Welcome, everyone.
Hey. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Janet, tell us real quick about your role here at Lifeway.
Sure.
And really tell us your title.
Okay.
Give it as big as you can make it.
Okay. I'm only 4'11", but I can make my job sound really big.
It is big.
Okay. All right. So my actual title is Director of Kids Ministry. Sometimes we like to say Lifeway Kids because that feels like who we are, Lifeway Kids. We kind of lead with that out with our churches and conferences and things that we do. That encompasses about 80% publishing. So we do a lot of producing of resources for children's ministry. So okay. That includes babies all the way up to preteens. So it's a large age coverage, and we have an editorial team that tackles all the different ages, and we do lots of different things. So everything from what we call ongoing curriculum, which is maybe what you would use in a Bible study on Sunday morning, or we do discipleship resources for other times that churches need resources. And then, of course, we do VBS in a variety of ways. And then lots of things in between. And so that's our publishing side. We also have a camp called CentraKid Camp, and it serves, over 28,000 kids.
Oh, my goodness.
It is one of
the largest camps
in America, and some people don't know that. And it just does, it reaches so many churches, so many kids across the country. And so we have our own embedded marketing team, and we do podcasts like you guys and blogs and a magazine, all that kind of stuff. So lots of fun things and a lot of ministry, which is really what drives us.
Wow. So, I know I shouldn't, as a research professional, question people's decision to get research done, but with all that you just mentioned, you've got to have data and info coming in from all directions, mm-hmm. all over the place. Mm-hmm. How can I ask this delicately? What possessed you to create more data? What drove you to say, hey, let's get some research on
right. That's
what we're doing.
Great question. We feel like as just thought leaders in the church marketplace, if I can use that word, we really want to continue to be thought leaders. And in order to do that, we need to have relevant, current information. And so that's why we called our colleagues at Lifeway Research, you guys, to help us discover some things that would help us be better resource providers, that would help us equip church leaders to ultimately equip the home. And so we were constantly thinking about how to do that. And so if we could have great, valid, current research, then we feel like we can do a better job of doing that.
Okay. So y'all can jump back and forth, but Scott, don't let her run you over. But when you guys were designing this and working on it, what did you really want to focus on?
Well, I think we wanted to hear from parents and kind of look at their journey. Not parents that were in the middle of the journey or at the beginning of the journey, but those who had finished. They had young adults in their family that they had raised. And we didn't want to just listen to them go, wow, barely made it kind of comments. We wanted to know, how did you invest in your kids? And what were some characteristics of those kids growing up? And to what extent are they following Christ now? Mm-hmm. And trying to put those pieces together to say, is there anything we can be learning about this journey?
Right.
So I'm going to make this just a little personal, not invasive, I hope. What y'all are in the middle stage with you getting close to kicking one out of the nest. So what are the ages of y'all's kids?
Well, I have three kiddos. my youngest two are boys, and they are ages 10 and 12. So preteen age is what I call that. And then I have a full-blown teenager in the house, my daughter, who's 15.
All right.
My daughter's 18, and my son is 15.
Okay.
So real quick, as you're doing this professionally, what has snuck in? I'd like that to shape what we're talking about. What has snuck in personally for you and your own kid
journey?
Yes, you've still got time.
Right. Well, I will say, if I may, Scott, that this really started off very personal for me. Because I found, and people on my team as well, as we talked about, you know how when you really meet, like Lizette, when I meet you, I think, you're so neat. And
oh,
you're so just,
I mean,
they're so, you are. When I meet people like you who are adults, sometimes I wish I could meet their parents and say, what did your parents do, not do, mess up in? Get right, you know, that made you who you are today, because you're walking with the Lord. You're doing, you know, great things. No, you're not perfect. You're hilarious,
oh,
by the way.
Thank you. That makes up for a lot.
Are your parents funny?
My parents, my dad has passed, but he was hilarious. My parents have very biting senses of humor. And so I have a very... So I was raised in a very funny, straightforward,
gotcha,
cutting humor kind of home. So
there you go.
I'm very polished and reserved compared to my people.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Well, anyway, so it kind of started off with just a curiosity of, could we identify some commonalities that made for adults who are walking with the Lord? What did their families do? Could we find some things in common? And so that's when... You know, we contacted Scott and said, you know, and we, gosh, that first meeting, there were three of us in the room who were really curious about this, all parents, all colleagues together in kids ministry. And we just rambled and rambled and rambled. And I think Scott did a great job of wrangling us into, okay, let's capture some questions, some things that we can ask that, you know, where we could find out some really solid research. And so we were all over the map, you know, is it this? Is it that? Is it, you know, is it just church all the time? Is it the Father knows best devotional is what I call it, you know, because we're all, you know, thinking, okay, it's, I didn't do the Father knows best devotional today. You know, they're not going to make it. You know, what is it? And so he helped us identify some things that we could actually ask a bunch of people. So
how about you, Scott?
I think as parents, you repeatedly realize that your kids make their own choices. And sure, we punish them when it's out of bounds, and we encourage them when it's a good choice. But we realize how little we're in control, even though we can control the environment. We can do certain things to definitely help. And, you know, that I think the research agreed with that. It showed how much, as much as we can invest spiritually in our kids, ultimately it's their choice whether they choose to follow Christ or not, and even to the extent that they do. And so, you know, it's pretty humbling as a parent, but it's also a big relief to know that, you know, their entire destiny is not in my hands. That thankfully it's in the Lord's hands, but. You know, some of it they're choosing.
Yeah.
So you're using the research to inform your team. It's also going into a book and kind of an overall theme of Nothing Less. Is that right?
Correct.
Where did that come from?
Okay, so Nothing Less is taken directly from, I'm going to say taken, not stolen, borrowed, from A.W. Tozier. And his quote is, nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. And that really resonated with my team about it is, it goes back to God's word that transforms. And so we developed, you know, our conference theme for Etch. And really, it just segued really well into what the research – I don't want to totally give it away. Are we going to give it away?
We're going to give a little bit away, I think.
Yeah. So it really pointed to what we discovered in this research project, which allowed us to call the research project really the Nothing Less Research, because it goes back to God's Word.
And actually, you just finished sharing a lot of these findings at the ETCH conference, which, again, a very generous thing to do all this research and then try to give it to ministry leaders.
Yeah.
And for those in kids ministry, as you plan for next fall, I assume there'll be an ETCH conference next fall?
Yes.
And that's definitely something to be planning toward. Mm-hmm. There will likely, hopefully, be some new research there, but definitely Jana's team is constantly looking at what makes good kids ministry and what is most effective. Several of the top findings of the things related to what actually predicts somebody following Christ more closely as a young adult were things that a child almost has to choose to do. Mm-hmm. Reading the Bible, as you mentioned, is number one thing, but, you know, them praying, them serving in church, you know, a lot of those are very much things that a child chooses to do. As kids ministry leaders, do we say, you know, is there nothing for us to do? Or I guess we can influence some of those things. How should we be thinking about kind of our role in trying to foster that and to encourage that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So back to the ETCH conference, which is something that my team produces annually in partnership with student ministry. And so we're really trying to encapsulate an audience of next-gen leadership at churches where they could actually come to a conference and be equipped together so that they can equip parents is actually who we're trying to reach. So ETCH stands for Equipping the Church and Home. So it really is an acronym. And so your question, Scott, leads right into that. What can church leaders do kind of with these findings to help parents guide their children at home? Because ultimately, church leaders have a role in partnership with parents as the primary disciplers of their children. We want these leaders to understand what that is and what are some key things that they can do both from the church standpoint, but also equip parents to do at home. And I think this study does a great job of finding that balance of how we disciple at home, but we also depend on just the body of Christ, the church.
I love this, and I'm also haunted by it. The top one that Scott mentioned, children regularly read their Bible while growing up, and that echoes what we've seen in other studies and, you know, things that we've looked at over and over again, that the significance and the power of God's Word on who we become as disciples. In some other research that we've done, I had the opportunity to learn and hear from parents who maybe were struggling with helping their kid read the Bible or picking Bibles out for their kids. What are some suggestions you have for parents or leaders in creating an environment to make Bible reading easier, more accessible for kids?
Okay. Well, like you said, I think Bible selection is really important. And so, like, you know, our team represents, you know, like I said earlier, babies all the way to preteens. And then, you know, my colleague, Ben Trueblood, who represents student ministry, you know, has to help teenagers identify Bibles that work for them. So we've got lots of different Bible choices out there. It just takes going to, you know, website, Lifeway Christian Resources stores, to look on the shelf and see there's a wide range. Where church leaders can help, if I'm an expert in kids ministry, I can help parents understand, you know, it's lovely that you bought your five-year-old a full-text KJV Bible, but it may not be the best Bible right now. Mm-hmm. Let's put that on the shelf and save it for later, depending on your translation. Of course, I just said KJV. We like to say CSB around here. So,
sure.
So, But whatever that is, a full-text Bible in preschool is maybe not right for that phase of life. If you do choose a full-text Bible at that age group, for example, B&H in partnership with Lifeway Kids produces something called the Read to Me Bible, and it has it makes it really easy for parents to actually read a full-text Bible to their young one who can't read yet. And so there is value in reading the full text to young ones, and you can find a Bible that helps make that easy to do, especially with fun teaching pictures and things like that, that children can engage with you. Because when they're young, it's going to be more about reading to them. And then as they grow a little bit older, it's a lot of modeling, I think, for kids to be able to see in their home that mom and dad value reading the Bible. Recently, we just interviewed Robbie Gallaty, who just has a passion for scripture and families getting in the Word. And we partnered with him doing a Bible reading plan called Foundations for Kids. If you guys want to look that up, it's a great resource. Comes in a kids version, student version, and an adult version. But he, when we interviewed him on a podcast, said that the biggest thing for him and his wife right now is to wake up early. They get in separate rooms even and are doing their Bible study first thing in the morning. And as their kids are coming down for breakfast, that's the first thing they see. It's not, they don't make a big deal out of, look, Daddy's reading the Bible. Why don't you come jump in my lap and we'll read 10 verses together? It's, they just do it. And maybe they have some intentional time where they're reading the Bible together later, but they find such value. And I think it's right on that they're modeling that this is so valuable that mama and daddy are doing it, you know, perhaps on a daily basis. So choosing the right Bible is key. A storybook Bible might be great for the toddler and preschool years where you can have a read aloud time at night. A full text Bible that is appeals to kids. For example, I have my middle child is all sports kind of kiddo. He's 12, and he found a Bible, or I found it for him and gave it for Christmas, that has sports devotionals embedded in inside the Bible of Christian athletes that that just want to share how God's Word has helped them. And so he loves reading those, and that helps him want to dig into scripture more. So that's just a little identity piece where you can find things that, you know, match your child's interests. My daughter is very artistic. She loves the journaling and doodling type Bibles. Nice. And has found a lot, especially in rocky years of middle school and early high school, to be able to open the Word and just kind of, you know, read, capture some what we call life verses, doodle, color, and that helps her kind of defuse from whatever the social happenings are of the day.
Don't we all need that?
Yeah, we do.
And if I can just contribute my tidbit and suggestions, if you're going to read aloud to, say, tween girls, and you pick Esther because you think this is a great story, you might want to review all the words that are going to be in there because you will be asked to explain them. That's just my tidbit.
That's good.
Think through what you're going to read out loud, because if you set to do it, they're going to want to know what some things are. That, we're going to leave it right there.
Right. Same way. A lot of people like to start in Genesis, and there's some fun stories there.
And it's, we don't, you know, it should all be covered. You just want to be, you just want to be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to thank Jana for being here and excited about everything that's going on. If you have questions, you can tweet to us. You can tweet to Jana at Jana_Magruder, M-A-G-R-U-D-E-R. Yes. And Scott at S. McCon or at Lizette Beard. You can, or you can also tweet to Lifeway Research at Lifeway Research. Join us next time for another edition of Keep Asking. Keep asking, learn more, do better.